In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, welcome to worship at Providence Presbyterian Church on this glorious day. We are so glad that you are here with us, and I wish a warm, happy Mother's Day to everyone who is in that category here as we celebrate today in many directions. We invite you all to sign the welcome pads that you'll find on the inside aisle and pass them down the pew so that you may greet one another by name following the worship service. This morning, we are celebrating our college graduates who have been part of our college fellowship for, in some cases, for all 4 years that they have been here in school. And we invite you to a special coffee hour in the Hope Room following the worship service, and particularly invite you to take a look at the insert that shares a little bit of who those folks are who have been woven into the life of this congregation in many and varied ways, of which you will hear more later. It seems particularly fitting this morning that we would have a rosebud celebrating the birth of our newest member to the PPC community. Ogden Roman Johnson was born to Art and Elena on Friday morning. They are all doing well, and I don't have a full report on how Marcello, the older brother, is doing with it, but they are all doing well, and we celebrate the birth of Ogden this morning. A big thanks to the work crew who worked yesterday around, in and around the church and brightened up some of the spaces inside and out. And we hope that if you see ways to get involved in the life of that around here, we would welcome your participation on that. After the celebration, the college fellowship graduation celebration in the Hope Room, we were hoping to have a youth and college frisbee game. We have few youth, so we have to figure out what we're going to do with that, but we will caucus, but in the meantime, make sure you fill up on lots of food so that the youth definitely have an advantage there. Our new inquirers and new members class is beginning on Tuesday, a 3-week series. If you would like to participate in that and have not already indicated your interest, please know that you are welcome. If you have questions about it, please let me know, and I'll be happy to do whatever I can to answer those questions. Next Sunday is our congregational meeting in the spring to elect new officers, new elders, and deacons for the leadership in this important time of the life of this congregation. We covet your prayers as we continue to discern the people who are most called to serve in this time and in this place, and ask that you would keep the nominating committee in prayer as they continue in their work in this week and onto the election next Sunday, immediately following worship here in the sanctuary. It should not take too long. We also pray that if you are asked to serve in that way, know that it's not a fluke, and please seriously consider being part of that as we move forward in this important time in our congregation. Are there any other announcements this morning? Thanks, Steve. Please join with me in the responsive call to worship. Let us come before God with our joys and riches. God gives us shelter and bounty and blessings. Let us come before God with our sorrows and fears. God wipes every tear from our eyes. Let us come before God with our doubts and questions. God is our shepherd and guides us to the waters of life. Let us come before God with our prayer and our worship. We come with thanksgiving and praise to worship God. Our Lord himself invites us to confess our sin, our brokenness, and our separation from God, that we might too receive the power of forgiveness. Let us come in honesty and openness as we pray, first in silence, then confessing together. Let us pray. Continuing in prayer together. Risen Savior, we stand in the light of the resurrection, and still we are too busy to see you in our daily lives. We do not expect our lives to be changed by your presence. We focus on disappointments rather than sharing the good news. We let our doubts overwhelm us rather than using them to help us grow. Lighten our spirits with your forgiveness, and let us know the peace that only you can bring. Amen. Let us continue in a spirit of confession as we sing together, Give Me a Clean Heart, number 2133 in the small hymnal. Great is the mercy of our God, new every morning. Friends, believe this good news. God is love. In Christ we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. Thank you.
time where we share our joys and concerns. Are there any you would like to share this morning?
I'd like continued prayers for Walter. His PSA has gone up again, and we'll be seeing the oncologist on Friday. I'd also like to ask prayers for my son's father-in-law. His name is Dennis O'Keefe. He's been diagnosed with bladder cancer that has metastasized to his lungs. And I'd also like to ask prayers for my youngest son, Tim, who's having financial problems.
My parents are visiting, so I'd like to welcome them and also wish them safe travels when they return.
I just have a joy. Friday night. Thank you to anyone who participated by attending the Burundi fundraiser. They had a great drumming session, a great PowerPoint presentation, all by Pacific Itani Bindi. And I don't know how much they raised, but I think I'll be accepting donations if you guys want to do that, and I'll give it to him, and then he'll be passing over to Africa. He's basically raising money to help a student go to school in Burundi. Okay, thank you.
I would just like to ask for prayers for the family of James Thompson, who died on Friday, and prayers for my brother Cedric, who was very close to James. James was like a foster brother to me.
I would like us to pray for those girls who were kidnapped in Africa. I went to a solidarity rally Friday afternoon, and it's really painful to see this thing happening. So let's pray for peace, and this girl will be returning to their homes.
I'd like to request prayer for a friend in East Providence. Her name is Grace. Grace is from Syria, and she lost her mother last month, and her brother Jamil is in the hospital in Syria. He was caught in a bomb blast. He's in ICU, he's a dentist there, and has young children, and Grace is really hurting. So pray for her brother and for her family.
My number one joy is that my mom is here, and she's here for the week. She arrived safely yesterday and flies out next Saturday. And also, I'd like continued prayers for my nephew's girlfriend, Brianna. She has surgery on Wednesday. As many of you know, she has a brain disorder where it's called Chiari malformation, where her brain has kind of outgrown its skull. It's kind of a complicated condition. But anyway, she is having some surgery on Wednesday. I'd also like prayers for my sister-in-law and her family. Her mother, Betty, is in the hospital with a osteomyelitis in her foot and cellulitis in her other foot. So she's having a difficult time. And my sister-in-law's son, 16-year-old son, my nephew, Jordan, has been diagnosed this week with mononucleosis. So she has been in another the doctor's office is in the hospital every day this past week, so she's had a tough week, and her family, prayers for healing. Thank you.
I would like to ask prayers today for all the mothers. It's Mother's Day, especially for the single moms who I think does a great job, you know, trying to bring up the kids with no dad. Especially for my son, I'm asking a special prayer for him. He's in high school and going through a bit of difficulty. Thank you.
I just asked for prayers for my parents. They're doing a 2-week intensive retreat, kind of focused especially for missionaries, and they were missionaries a long time ago, but I think they burned out, and they're finally getting around to working through some of that. So they're in the middle of this 2-week retreat, and thankfully my mom's health has been holding up. I was really surprised that they were still going to try to do this, considering her lung conditions, but they're there, and she's holding up, and I think they're getting some good stuff out of it. So they'll be there until, I think, next weekend or the following Monday.
Need a prayer for traveling mercy because I'm leaving on Saturday for my grandmother's funeral and the whole family.
Continue prayers for Juliet. This is Bridget's mom, who luckily has been released from the nursing home, so she's stabilized in her own home comfortably. And through intensive rehabilitation, her speech is coming back gradually. So thanks for the prayers. She's recuperating pretty good.
You know, mine is a joy because Todd's surgery went really well on Tuesday, and he's been home at my house, you know, and is there today because he still has some open wounds that haven't closed yet. But it is a testimony to him that these prayers have sustained him. And, you know, he really feels it. So thank you so much for praying.
And may your prayers also be with Suzanne, as her dog is very sick. And it's a struggle for pet owners who have dearly loved animals that are not well.
Let us pray. All of our life is in you, O God, creator of the universe, redeemer of all humankind, empower of grace and truth. We pray for a world so overcome by limitations of humanity, by terrors and disaster. We pray this day for justice, peace, and freedom for all your people to prevail, and particularly for your daughters in Nigeria and the parents who yearn for them. We pray earnestly for safe return and wisdom there. We pray this day in thanksgiving for our graduates and all of the college students who have come to call this place their church home. We thank you for our member college students, Philip and Jamie, who are here with us this Sunday. Bless all of our college folk in their summers and in their lives ahead. Help us to be ever a welcoming place for all ages. We thank you, O God, this week for the safe arrival of Ogden on Friday. Bless his family as they are knit together in this time in the support of Art's parents here alongside. We give thanks this day for all mothers who nurture and bring life. We lift up particularly those who parent alone, for single moms. We pray for all who live in our hearts and minds. Bless them with rest and appreciation in this day and in memories that are good and right. We give thanks, O God, this day for the many joys of our lives, for family visiting, for moms from afar, for the Harrisons, and for Donna Marburger. For Pacific's drumming and how far he has come in this time since he moved here from Burundi as his journey continues. We thank you, O God, for your healing hand in evidence in Todd and so many others, for the feeling of sense of healing that we get through the prayers of one another. We give thanks for all who are answering the call to serve in these days.
in so many directions, in work days and youth work, for mentors in the confirmation process, for those considering election to leadership, for the new co-pastor you will bring to us here. Remind us, O God, that when ministry is shared, it is joy and life-giving, for the calls to ministry of vocation and work answered so faithfully, we give you thanks. We pray, O God, for those who continue to need your healing touch in the midst of medical uncertainties or challenging circumstances, for Melinda, for Mark, for Suzanne and Ebony, for Walter, for Dennis, for Brianna, for Betty, for Jordan, for Juliet. We remember those who grieve in this time and losses past, for the family of James in his death this week, particularly for Cedric, for Grace's family and her brother in Syria. We pray for all in transition in this time with approaching moves. May you smooth the ways and guide us step by step to the opportunities before us. We pray for Tim, for special programs for children that bring hope and life, for this time of retreat and Joe's mother's health to enjoy it, for Vivian as she travels to family in Ghana. Send us forth, O God, this day as your disciples, empowered by your Spirit. We remember and give thanks as we claim the power of our Lord who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I'd like to invite the children forward for a time with them, and I'd also like our college graduates to come and mix themselves into the mix here. All right. Have you ever seen these big children before? Ever? Ever? Yes? Yes?
I have my dad.
Your dad's from college too? Yes. Well, I want to share with you a little bit today about these very special people that are seated all around you. And there are very special people seated all around there as well. But today we're remembering particularly these four here who have been on a journey with us here at PPC for, in some cases, 4 years. How many of you are younger than four? Four, three, two, one. A few of you. So you don't ever remember a time when Lydia, Edward, Beatrice, and Danielle weren't with us. Ever. Ever. I barely remember a time when they weren't with us. It is very hard and a hard thing about life and the journey of faith that people come in and out of our lives at different times in our lives. But you know, someone once gave me a poster, and I think it was someone who was about to leave my life too, said, people come into our lives and they leave footprints on our hearts. Footprints on our hearts. And these folks that are seated around you and many of the people that you're going to meet over the whole time of your life are people who leave footprints on your heart. They're going off on adventures. Some of them are. Thank goodness only two of them are leaving us for a while. But, you know, people have a way of coming back to visit around here, too. And keep coming back to be drawn back here. And we want you to be able to take time to celebrate these folks. We have some special refreshments today. to celebrate Lydia, Edward, Beatrice, and Danielle as they go off in new directions for their lives, to celebrate the college students that are behind them here, some of whom will be their last Sunday with us before they head off to adventures in the summer, but we hope they'll be back in the fall. And to take time as well to say thank you to Matt and Marianne Harrison, who have been this year our college fellowship coordinators, inviting all of us as a congregation to share in meeting the extraordinary young people who come to worship with us and share life in this community with us over time. And I gave them very last minute notice, if they even found it, but I want to give them a chance to say something, to say just a couple of words about what they found here and why they kept coming for 4 years. So please come forward, you guys. You want to say something? Anyone? What you found here and why you kept coming for 4 years.
I found here a beautiful group of people who show the love of Jesus so well to me and to each other and to people that don't go here, and that's really beautiful and was a constant reminder that that's how I want to be living and how God wants me to be living here and everywhere. So I loved coming back every week.
And Beatrice will be back with us next fall because she is doing City Year Rhode Island and teaching in the Providence School District.
Yeah. Well, Beatrice said a lot of great things. We're going to end up running out. So coming here freshman year, it was just such a beautiful worshiping community and grounding place outside of campus, especially with people of all sorts of different ages that you don't see on a college campus all that often. And that was such a beautiful thing to get to know people and to be able to worship and have coffee hours and obviously be welcomed in and served lunch once in a while too, which is always nice. And so I think that it was just the community of people, whether they were here for a couple months or for all of the time that I've been coming here, it's meant a lot to have somewhere, to call sort of a base, a spiritual base outside of campus.
Yeah, obviously I haven't been coming to PPC for as long as these guys, but just my experiences in being in this church of being instantly embraced as family, and I think that is really exciting for a college student because when you're living at home, it's so easy to keep on track because you have your parents reminding you who you are or reminding you what's right. And to have a family that grounds you every Sunday in recalling those things when the rest of the week you're kind of left to do whatever you want is just an incredible experience.
And Danielle will also be with us for probably a couple more years because Danielle and Gordon are going to be married in the sanctuary the end of this month.
First of all, I would like to thank the Academy. All great things have been said by these three before me, and I'd like to echo basically everything that they've said. I think the one thing that I would say is that, particularly what Danny was mentioning about how PPC seems so much like a family. It's a very large, very loving family, and particularly being a college student, especially for the first 2 years, but certainly for all four, kind of being really, really far away from home, being from California, and just. Finding a place where I can stay grounded and be loved by a great number of different people. That's why I came and that's why I stayed. Thank you.
And with thanks to Lydia and Edward, who will, I know, take the spirit of this place and help it to grow wherever they end up landing in the years to come. So we give thanks for that for all of you. And please take time after worship this morning to go go greet them in the Hope Room. We're not sending them downstairs away from you all to have brunch. We're keeping them up here so that you can meet all of these amazing folks as well as the others who worship with us on a regular basis. Let us pray together. God, we thank you that you bless us with journeys that come from near and far to share life with us. We thank you that all of us have had the opportunity to meet these amazing young women and men in our church, and we ask your blessing upon them as they go forth to show forth your love wherever they find themselves. Help us to ever be witnesses to that this day and all days. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Thank you. And our children can go down to their classes. The middle school is upstairs for their class today.
Good morning. Let us pray. Prepare our hearts, O God, to accept your word. Silence in us any voice but your own, that by hearing we may obey your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Old Testament lesson is Psalm 23rd. Which you just heard the choir sing. And it will be posted up there, as well as on page 474 in the Pew Bible and 6117 in the large print. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. The New Testament lesson is from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 11 to 18. And Jesus is speaking here, saying, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. This is the word of the Lord. Thank you.
Everything I know about sheep I learned one summer living on a dairy and sheep farm in Sweden. It was always really nice to be able to look out at the field where the sheep were grazing. They were always so peaceful. And I did actually get to know them up and personal. Not great, but anyway, I got to go out and pet them. Much to my chagrin, I discovered they weren't really soft and puffy after all. And if I'd really thought about it, I should have figured that out. Nevertheless, I also learned that they're not always really as stupid as people like to think, because all we had to do was come near the gate to the pasture, and they knew we were there, and they knew we would have treats. And we used to break off little pieces, knackebröd, the little flatbread that the Swedes eat, and we would give that to these sheep, and I learned much, again to my chagrin, that they're a little heavy, because they would leap up if you held your cracker too far up into the air, and then when they came down, they came on your feet rather heavily. They did not mean to hurt you, because they are an extremely docile animal, really. Now, some of you may have had experiences with sheep that's not the same as mine, so I'm not speaking in a general kind of way that this is what sheep are really like. This just happens to be what the sheep I met were like on that particular summer. But anyway, they had all of their needs provided. They were well taken care of. They were always safely in this fenced pasture. They had no predators to threaten them. And they really were a delightful animal to be around. And even though I was living on a dairy and sheep farm, we rarely ate meat. I do not remember ever eating sheep on that farm. And very rarely did we eat beef of any size, shape, or form. Maybe the little footballer, the little meatballs. But that's about the only meat I remember eating that entire summer. And that told me something. Those animals, those sheep, were of great value. That dairy herd was of great value. And I believe that takes us a little closer back to where the biblical shepherd might have been. Because that herd was very important to them. It was their livelihood. And when the sheep shearing was done, that animal's wool is what they could trade for the things that they did not otherwise have. On the farm where I lived, we had some of it come back in the form of yarn, and we made sweaters. All of the girls in the family knit, I crocheted, and we made things, apparel. It was an integral part of our lives. This wool from this sheep came back to us to provide for our benefit, our welfare, our warmth. And boy, on those cool summer days in Sweden, was I ever glad to have that wool sweater. The sheep were totally dependent on their human owners, their human providers, just as they are in Psalm 23, totally dependent. Now, in times of the shepherd in Psalm 23, there would have been natural predators out there. And when it says in the psalm, my rod and my staff, they provide a lot of comfort, because when that wolf comes along, the shepherd has this big long stick that he can beat the wolf away and protect the sheep. He would carry a long rod, and that would help make sure the sheep stayed in line where they wanted them to be. Keep them on the paths where they're not going to go falling off a cliff. Keep them in the place where they'll be safe at night. So that at night they didn't have a nice little fenced-in pasture. They would have to find a place where there would be rocky walls naturally coming out, and they could get the sheep into that area, and they only had one end, hopefully, to have to guard against the predators or anybody who might come along during the night and threaten the flock. So these beautiful, pretty placid animals, very dependent upon a good shepherd. So when the psalm opens up and it says, "The Lord is my shepherd," it is saying, I am totally, utterly dependent upon God for everything in my life. Absolutely everything. And then the psalmist walks us through in the next verses how God does provide the food, the water, the resting place. And when it says, and I'm afraid I'll mess up, I learned it in King James Version. It was read in the NRSV, and I've written yet another version over here. So it's going to be confusing, so I hope I don't mix you up. But when it says, you restoreth my soul, or he restores my soul in the NRSV, we're talking about something just really incredible here. This is not just life and food and water. This is really the very, very essence of life. Soul is not a good translation, but there's no way to translate this Hebrew word, nephesh. Nephesh is the very, very essence of what life is. It is our very breath. It is our very being. It is what God gave human beings at the time of creation, breath, to give them life. It is the spirit that makes you who you are. It is the wholeness, the completeness of what makes each of us who we are as individuals. So this is a psalm not about how it's used so often at funerals. It's a psalm about how we live. That our very life, our very being, our very origin, even back as far as the womb, is dependent upon God, the shepherd. And I know we read this psalm over and over again, and how dare I try to preach about it? How can I bring anything new, because we've read it and memorized it and everything for years, all our lives. But when it says that God does this for his name's sake, what in the world does that mean? Why is God doing this? For God's own ego? No. What this really means in the Hebrew is that God is doing this for God's honor. Because it is a part of God's character that God must do this. Because this is who God is. God is our caregiver, our provider. And it would not be God to do anything less. And so we rely upon God to do this. And even though we walk through those dark valleys, and in some translations it is the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. But the Hebrew word is really more akin to, even though I have a calamity. Who of us has not had at least one calamity in our lives? There are those times in everybody's lives when it seems like there's just too much. Maybe it's one thing. But I don't know about you, but it always seems to happen in threes for me. I get sick. One of the kids gets sick and the car dies. You know? So you can't even get to the doctor. All these things pile up on us. Or there really is a calamity. Our house is hit by a tornado, or we're in the path of the hurricane. Or there's a fire. Or we're in an accident, or we have a terminal illness. Or, it goes on and on. But this God who is our shepherd is there to make sure we get through the calamities of life. So it's not just our daily bread God makes sure we get. It's that we have God's presence with us whenever things look dark or frustrating or just plain old aggravating. God is with us. And so we can feel safe. And I'm not sure who the enemies are for us. It could be the little devil that's on our shoulder tempting us to do bad things. I don't know that I believe in that little devil up here. But nevertheless, we do have various things that confront us that make life difficult for us. And when those things happen, it's like God helps us thumb our nose at them, because God sits us down and gives us a six-course dinner right in front of our enemies. And we can sit there and just eat away. Feast on God's presence and God's love in the face of all of this trouble. And when it writes or says in here, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. That's my favorite Hebrew word of all times, chesed. Chesed. Oh, our English is so inadequate. It is so inadequate, because this is the God of steadfast love, whose love never fails, whose love never quits, and it doesn't matter what you do, how you fail, how you mess up, God is still there loving. God was there loving before we were ever conceived. God was there the moment we were born. God's been there every step of the way, even when we thought we were so great we could do it all alone. God was there. And that little word, chesed, that's God's love that is so broad, so deep, so high, we don't have a single English word that can possibly convey it. And it's frequently translated steadfast love, but even that doesn't get it. So this is a psalm about living in confidence that God is with us. Every single step, with every single breath, God is there. That's what a shepherd does. Providing, protecting, loving, sharing, all of these things. And I'm thinking about all of this wonderful, wonderful stuff about shepherds, and I look up on my shelf, and there's a book that says The Temporary Shepherd. It's a book about being a transitional pastor. Shepherd, huh? Right. I want to blow that image to a million tiny pieces. I'm not going to compete with God. There is only one shepherd, and that is God. God, our creator, only shepherd. And I don't know if you figured it out yet or not, but ministers, whether you call them pastors, ministers, whatever, can do a great job without your help of putting all kinds of responsibilities on their own shoulders. Like if they don't do it, this church just might fall apart. And it's an easy thing for pastors to do, and they need you to remind them. You are the church. In the interim study report for this congregation, it's very clearly stated that you are a ministry-centered church, not minister-centered. And that's wonderful. But it doesn't happen without the ministers. And they still get a lot of responsibility. You're accustomed to having a full-time and a half pastor. You now have one and a third. Oh, well, that's not that much less. Let me tell you. Let Andrew tell you. It's a lot less. It's a lot less. And so you have to be mindful of your pastors because they don't always take real good care of themselves. They need to take that time apart that says, I have needs also. I have a family. Mine may be in Pakistan, but I still have a family. I actually have a son living with me now. So we have our own personal demands as well. And in every single church that I have served up until now, there seemed to be a great unconsciousness that I actually had needs as well. So the ministers need to be encouraged to stay within the guidelines of their job description, and yes, they have them. The personnel committee very carefully wrote them out. And that's to help them, as well as the congregation, keep in mind what is it exactly we can expect of this pastor and this pastor. We're in the process of searching for the new pastor to call to be the co-pastor. That pastor will be full-time. That doesn't mean 60 hours a week. It doesn't even really mean 50 hours a week. The guidelines for the Presbytery of Southern New England says that's 12 units of 3.5 hours or less. You multiply it. And so even though you have been blessed with these highly energetic pastors who will just knock themselves out for you, remember that even those pastors have to take time for themselves. And when the new pastor is called, Pastor Chris goes back to half time. She's not going to have to be everywhere doing everything. She hopes. She is an intentional part-time pastor. I'm an intentional transitional pastor. We have very specific kinds of callings. And so I invite you to take good care of your pastors and don't think of them as shepherds. The pastor who did the installation service for Chris, Steve Clark, said that pastors are more like sheepdogs. I love that image. I love it. We can be loving, we can be affectionate, we can do some things really, really well, and there are some things, and sometimes our tails wag and knock the things off the table. You know, we just totally blow it. There is only one shepherd, and that is God. And the good shepherd Jesus may have laid down his life for the sheep, but that is not the calling of pastors. Trust me, I tried it. It's not any fun. Jesus was working with God in that whole process, where he came to this world and lived and worked and ministered and healed, touched people's lives, turned the whole world upside down and made it a different place. But pastors are just plain old flesh and blood folks. And so follow the good shepherd, Jesus. good being the model of everything that is morally right and good and strong and the very, 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 very absolute supreme best that anybody could ever hope to be, which we will never achieve. Follow that shepherd. And in the meantime, if you need somebody flesh and blood to hold your hand and talk to, you can go to your pastor. But remember, they are human flesh blood pastors who sometimes need some help. May God bless this congregation and in all your work with your pastors, whoever they may be. Amen.
Let us stand and affirm our faith. In Jesus of Nazareth, true humanity
was realized once for all. Jesus, a Palestinian Jew, lived among his own people and shared their needs, temptations, joys, and sorrows. He expressed the love of God in word and deed and became a brother to all kinds of sinful men and women. But his complete obedience led him into conflict with his people. His life and teaching judged their goodness, religious aspirations, and national hopes. Many rejected him and demanded his death. In giving himself freely for them, he took upon himself the judgment under which everyone stands convicted. God raised him from the dead, vindicating him as Messiah and Lord. The victim of sin became victor and won the victory over sin and death for all.
In gratitude for the care of the Good Shepherd, let us bring our tithes and offerings to the Lord. Thank you. our shepherd. Bless these gifts that we have brought in order to do your will. Help those who make the decisions about the use of these funds to use them according to your will, so that all people may become sheep under your shepherdness. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
This is the season of Alleluias, so you will see that we have changed the closing part that you sing from Amen, Amen, to the chorus of this song that we just sang, and we will sing it as our closing for the rest of the Easter season. If you don't like it, you can complain to me or one of the members of the worship committee, but it is something different for you. I'm aware of that, so we will give it a shot, and we will see how it goes. And in the meantime, remember, we do serve a risen Savior, and we go into the world week after week to glorify him, to praise him, and to follow him, our Good Shepherd. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Alleluia. Amen. Amen.